at some rudimentary level, we all understand debt is dangerous. Unless you're a politician, then it's a weapon of destruction. But in our daily lives, many of us view debt as a necessity. I mean, there's some people that need debt. Like they have to float payments. They need credit cards, or they actually couldn't make it through the month. We've been conditioned to have it now. Pay for it later. It's actually part of our culture. We buy homes with it. Nobody even thinks second about that. Nobody considers, maybe I'll just pay cash for a house. Why? Because everybody's broke. Now, they don't think they're broke. See, you don't really realize you're broke until the tide goes out. No, you don't know who's swimming naked till the tide goes out, right? Because we feel as if everything's okay. Till you have a car accident. Till your dad loses his job. Until actual real shit that happens in the world happens to you. And then you realize real quick how much money you don't have, how little assets you have, and what a bad situation you're in. You feel, well, I can make my bills. Can you? See, we've been conditioned to have it now and pay later. It's our culture, right? Buy boats. People finance boats. There's nothing dumber in the world. I financed an RV once. It was the dumbest thing I'd ever done. When I ran the math out on that and the numbers on that, for the little bit of time that I used it, it was dumb on steroids. Like, I'm actually embarrassed to tell people I did that. And the crazy thing is, I had the money. But I know how valuable money is, and I couldn't let go of the money. And people do this. You know, buy TVs and a million other electronic toys, and some people might even go on vacation. I can't imagine going on vacation using debt, but there's people that do it as if you're supposed to go on vacation. In 18 years, I've been on 5 vacations. It's not in the Constitution, not some sort of weird requirement of life. I don't know why people do it. I don't know why a guy who's broke would take his family on vacation. I don't know, because it's delusional. They're living in a false positive. They don't realize the situation they're in. We've had 12 years of economic expansion. I'm telling you right now, if you're 30 years old or younger, you have never seen what is possible, what is going to happen again. It's called the business cycle. I talk about it in my book, You Don't Have to Die Broke. It's just a matter of time, contraction and expansion. And we'll blame whoever the current president is for it happening, but it is what it is. It happens. At some point, everyone who can borrow money has borrowed money. And there'll be no more money to borrow, and then all of a sudden, retail sales will drop. Number of phones being sold will drop. Some companies will start to lay off. Well, those people, all of a sudden, they can't make their car payments. And the first thing they don't pay is the stupid RV and the boat. And then you begin to see this ripple effect, this domino effect that begins to happen as everyone realizes, hey, we've been swimming naked, and now the tide's come in. And the reason in chapter 2, I talk about this idea of the money flow in the book. Actually, it's chapter 1. I don't know why I keep telling people chapter 2. Should make it chapter 2. Something that sticks in my mind. Of the money flow is the money management strategy. It would literally save every American. And virtually no Americans do it. And it's so simple. You have 3 buckets in front of you. In the book, I use the illustration of a well. The well represents your income or your job. And every day, you can only get so much money out of it. Every day at work, you can only earn so much money. Now, also in the book, I talk about this idea of building or creating other wells. You can just start another well. An investment into some high-yield fund or an oil well or starting a home business or a side hustle, any number of things could become a well where it's this reliable stream of income. And so now you got more water that you can get out of your well. I think everyone should have two or three, at least. One time I had like 17. I'm a little bit older now, and I don't want to work that hard. You know, now I cut back. I only do like 80 hours a week. So, you know, it's not as much as I used to do. And now I focus on three streams of income. But we can only get so much out. Now, the flip side to all of that is that debt can be useful and at times necessary. But it is a luxury. The problem is, it's a luxury that average people can literally can't afford. According to research, the average American will spend $280,000 in interest payments over the course of their life. That's average. That means somebody paid a lot less. Some probably paid a lot more. Some paid a lot less. So people who say they have no money to invest somehow find a way to pay $280,000 over the course of their life in interest payments. So in other words, we have money to invest. How do you win the game of Monopoly? By spending all your money? Any 8-year-old kid can describe to you how to win the game of Monopoly. What Robert Kiyosaki made very clear to us, if you understand how to win the game of Monopoly, you understand how to win the game of life. 4 greenhouses, 1 hotel. There's nothing more than that. Now, I've never done the hotel thing. I just keep buying the greenhouses. I'm up to about 15. My goal is 25. Shit, I might keep going. Maybe 100. Maybe I'll get lucky. We'll get a recession. Everybody will blow out and I'll just buy up all of them. I read about a man in California who has 1,100 houses. That's like borderline billionaire, I would imagine. I don't know. I have to do the math. In California? Whew. But he's been doing it for like 60-something years. He's an old, old, old man. See, debt is a luxury. And right now, I have no doubt, there's hundreds of people that listen to me every day. And a lot of you, you have debt and you're cool with it. You're cool with it. You're cool that you are providing someone else's passive income. Now, you're not doing shit for yourself for passive income, but you're happy to provide for someone else. Now, most people don't look at it that way. They're not looking at it that way. But I want you to look at it different. See, I'm trying to make finance and multiplying money super simple. Because if you can understand it super simple, you don't need to complicate it. You just get it. Like, you don't understand it if you can't explain it to like an 8-year-old. Like, you really don't understand what you're doing. And if you can't explain what you're investing into an 8-year-old, probably shouldn't be doing it. So we're not going to invest in Bitcoin. It's not an investment. Might throw a little money at it to speculate, but it's not an investment. And if you did and you lost money, that's called stupid tax. Now you know. I've done it a lot. I've made a lot of mistakes. And you got to learn from your mistakes. If you don't learn from your mistakes, how are you going to go forward? How are you going to make money? How are you going to improve your life? So debt isn't a luxury that few people can afford. There's a proverb that says, the borrower is the slave to the lender. Meaning you can never achieve freedom. Just because you're born in America doesn't mean you're free. Try to leave, see what they do. Oh, you don't have a passport? You can't leave. Why? Because you ain't free. You ain't free. Don't go to work tomorrow. How long until they take everything you own? You ain't free. See, the only way to achieve freedom in America is to buy assets that produce cash flow that'll pay your bills. That's it. It's the same path to freedom in Russia, China. Why do you think Chinese are pouring money into the U.S. economy? Because it's so easy. You just give them your money and they give you passive income. It's so simple. And yet Americans don't do it on a grand scale. They'd rather eat it, drink it, have sex with it, smoke it, do anything other than keep it. Most people secretly hate money. How do you know? Because they don't keep it. Because everything I've watched, you ever watch a child if they're into something? You're tripping over it when you go in their room. They have so many of it. They're into skateboards. There's so many damn skateboards in the room. You know, my kid had like 10 of them. He had skateboard games, skateboard clothes, skateboard magazines, skateboard CDs. And then you say, well, I like money. I like making money. Really? Where is it? I don't see any evidence of that. All I see is you spending money. I see you got some new shoes. Those are nice. Got a nice car. Got a nice house. I see you have the effects of money. If you did own those, probably not. Probably not. Probably making it in payments. Now, that may be enough for you. And that's cool. If it is, I don't even know why you would be listening to me. And why would you listen to me? What you have is lifestyle. And that's cool. And some people like that. I'm giving you an alternative. I'm talking about actual financial freedom where you're not dependent upon a job. And when the economy turns, you're just like, huh, what could I buy? Like, economic crises present opportunities for you. And in good times, that's cool too, because you just get richer. I'm talking about an all-weather portfolio where you're always making money, creating legacy wealth, and handing something down to your grandkids other than a bad attitude and bad advice. It's about changing family trees. Does your 12-year-old even know what passive income is, or are you too busy working to tell him? I mean, have you explained it at all? My son is 16. I've said it to him so many times, he doesn't want to hear it anymore. But he ain't got an excuse. I had my first serious run-in with debt many, many years ago. My wife and I were renting a house in Corsicana, Texas. Our landlord came to us with, quote, an exciting opportunity. We could buy the house for $60,000 with no money down. For just $100 more a month than we were already paying in rent, we would become homeowners. Sounded like a great deal. So we took it. I had bad credit. He was doing owner financing. Cool. We're now, quote, homeowners. I was too foolish then to ask myself, what is the cost of this debt? What we wound up was
a negatively amortized mortgage with a 3-year term and a 11% interest rate. That meant that every 3 years, we were paying $19,800 in debt service and another $3,000 in closing costs. Mortgages. Sometimes people say, well, I don't understand terms like regular amortization or negative amortization or too big of words. Let's see. Amortization. Kardashian. Yep, we can probably get it. Negatively amortized loans are rare, if not non-existent now, but they were the rage during the housing bubble before the crash in 2007. We all know how that ended. Millions of Americans lost their homes to foreclosure, and millions more owed more on their mortgages loaned than their home was actually worth. I actually acquired 3 houses during the housing crisis, so it worked out great for me. See, that's the kind of strategy I'm advocating for you. We're not dependent upon the economy. Obviously, in a good economy, we're going to do good. But in a bad economy, we're going to capitalize. Eventually, I managed to get us out of that house and into our first loan that actually made sense, but not before figuring out that even after calculating the rental value of living in the house, that, quote, deal had cost me about $20,000 and I had nothing to show for it. I learned that when banks make it easy for you to borrow money, it's not because they're being nice and it's not because you deserve it. I learned that if you can get a loan despite poor credit, as mine was at the time, there's usually a scam involved. It also taught me that it's always ask 2 critical questions about debt. How much will it cost, and can I afford it? Ask yourself, can you live without this new debt in a worst case scenario? If I lost my job and my wife lost my job, would I lose my car? Yeah, then you're probably driving too much car. If you lost your job tomorrow, could you pay for this debt next month? Debt is unnecessary. It's dangerous. It is unnecessary because there's always less expensive ways of getting what you want. And it's dangerous because it can sometimes be extremely costly, in my example that I lived through. Debt is literally a slave master. It will completely consume and even ruin your life. Most of all, debt steals any possibility you have at building wealth. treat it like a cancer, live a life to take action to avoid it. Do the best you can to avoid it. Let me give you an example. Let's say that you've accumulated $30,000 in credit card debt or student loans, and you decided, I want to get rid of this debt. And you decide you're going to devote $400 a month to paying it back. This may surprise you, but it'll take you approximately 10 years to pay off your credit card. Total payments would be $47,428. Of that, $13,278 literally was just interest. You understand that money invested in traditional investments of stocks or real estate or bonds doubles every 7 years. In other words, the $13,278, if it had been invested 7 years, would have become $27,000, and then 27 would have become 50-something, and 50-something would have become 100-something. See how easy that is? Can you see the possibilities of what happens when you take $280,000 instead of paying interest over the course of your lifetime on consumer debt, cars, houses, student loans, credit cards, all that bullshit? See, I pay interest, but I pay interest on cash flow and properties. And you begin to change the way that you see life and see money, and you get into what I call the money flow. In order to change your present reality, you must change your personality. You must begin to take in new information. You must begin to view money and life in a little bit different view. And as you begin to do this, you're going to realize you're kind of a stranger in a strange land. Nobody else is doing this. And the people that are, well, they hang out together. They don't send their kids to school with your kids. Why do you think rich kids send their kids to private school with other rich kids? Because they're afraid your kid might talk to them. Next thing you know, their kid's going to come home in debt. For real. Like, that's the reason. They're trying to mold their children. That's why I sent my kid to private school. Because I didn't want average people's kids messing his brain up. That's why. Avoid debt at all cost. I can't stress it enough. Every dollar that you pay in debt right now is a dollar you're not investing to change the life of you and your family.